right, Jillian, here we go. Here's the wagon's coming around now. Here comes that wagon. That's the wagon that Tom and I use when we spread news and opinion. We used to think Tom needed a ride in it, but now since Tom's big injury, think self-driving. We got a self-driving wagon. Always have a celebrity seated to the left, holding the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Hey, Tom, look who's in the wagon.
Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool?
What?
Where's that money? You realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison.
Pretty bad.
That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
Diamond! George Bailey really upset. The money's been lost, Tom. Where'd the money go? I need to know, huh?
I could have sworn that was you, John. You're so good.
Here we go. Here's Hannah Scott. All right, the news comes down. The Washington Supreme Court says to I-27, can't do that.
They say, yeah, it's not going to go to voters. So remember, this is the King County initiative that got enough signatures to make it to the ballot this past February, a special ballot. It was supposed to go on. And then a group called Protect Public Health sued because they said it went beyond the scope of the initiative. And a lower court said the same thing, agreed with that. And now today the state Supreme Court also agreed with that. So voters will not get a chance to weigh in on whether we're going to have safe injection sites in King County.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, King County and the Board of Health also had approved this recommendations from a task force to site two of them in King County. That was almost 2 years ago now. Jean Cole Wells on the council and on the Board of Health says she's pleased with today's ruling.
Mm. I think their decision is based in our Constitution and in our statute that important public policy decisions involving health should be made by the experts.
So why this went beyond the scope? So the what King County approved would have allowed for spending county dollars, tax dollars on these safe injection sites.
Mm-hmm.
So the initiative would have barred them from doing so, not allowed to spend public dollars. Mm-hmm. So the Supreme Court upheld the lower court's ruling, which said it's a budgetary issue. It goes beyond the scope of the initiative. You know, you can't do that. You can't infringe on the county's right to their budgetary process.
I
so
see.
That was the deal. So that's why you're not going to get it voted on. As far as where we stand, the two sites that we had talked about over a year ago now have not come to fruition. So far, King County isn't doing anything on their own. As you know, several cities, nearly a dozen, I believe, in King County have banned them on their own with their own councils already because they don't want them.
Yeah.
Seattle is, however, moving forward, according to Jeannie Cole Wells.
The city of Seattle is embarking on a plan to establish one center for this to occur based on a pilot project. We'll see if it will go forward, and we will see if we do anything more in another area of King County.
Mm-hmm. So there's a $1.3 million in the budget that was just approved by the city of Seattle that's a rollover from last year for one of these sites. They also added a couple $100,000 or $200,000 more to that. They also put in a request for the mayor, because citing one of these has been an issue. They haven't been able to find anything where they would be able to put it. They have, I believe, looked at a plan to do a mobile site that would stay in the same place, but it would be on wheels. The mayor has been tasked by the city council to come up with a proposed site, I believe, by March.
Oh, yeah, wow. Dump it on the mayor.
Wow. Well, the mayor's in. Doesn't the mayor like this idea of having the illegal drug injection sites?
I have not spoken to her directly about this, but I would imagine she would be in line with
those.
But as a former federal prosecutor, she may have another opinion. I'm not sure on that.
Okay. All right.
No, I don't. Yeah, it's not. The idea isn't that they're going to make her do something that goes against her principles. The problem is it's going to be a political hot potato. And so rather than Dow Constantine stepping up, they're going to say, hey, I know it's a King County issue, but Seattle, you're okay with this, so you pick a site.
Mm-hmm.
Because wherever she picks, they're going to be howls no matter where.
And Seattle is where they're already focused on putting a site. So the city council is already doing that. I believe Capitol Hill is the prime target at the moment.
So the people that started with I-27 said, okay, I'll tell you what, if you reject this, saying that we're too dumb to make health decisions, then we're going to go after you with some other laws that were passed in Washington, including marijuana. Yeah.
And abortion.
And abortion. Now, and because the Supreme Court cuts this apple with, no, it's not about health and understanding the science. This is more about the money
budgetary
issue. So by doing that, it completely eliminated their second part of their argument, which is going to be, oh, okay, any health-related issues, we will now challenge that were passed.
And I would speculate that that is absolutely the case. I'm talking to Josh Fried here in about 4 minutes, okay. Who's the person behind this initiative, one of the people behind this initiative, and he's the one who had said that he would move forward with those kind of a challenge if this was the ultimate decision by the state Supreme Court. We'll see if that has any legs, given that this was a budgetary issue, according to the rule.
Okay, wait a minute. That's intriguing to me. So they're not deciding. You just played a clip from Jeannie Coles that says, I think the health decisions need to be left up to the experts. That might be true or not, but that's not what you're saying the Supreme Court ruled on.
And it's specifically public health. King County Board of Health had agreed to spend money on this program. And the ruling, the conclusion of the Supreme Court says that's a budgetary issue. They've already approved it. You cannot. It goes beyond the scope of the initiative to do that, which is what the lower court said as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But unelected bureaucrats say stuff like voters are in no position to weigh the scientific evidence or understand the impact of vetoing the part of a multi-pronged response to a local public health crisis. They then pointed out, no, can you imagine if we asked the people what they think of vaccines? What about
exactly.
that? Would
yeah,
you
I
want
agree
to put that?
That
right? And it's a great thing. So I looked it up. How many Americans, what's the percentage of Americans believe vaccines are bad?
I don't know.
It's 6%. So if you did put it up for a vote, guess what? You'd find out that the majority of people believe that vaccines are actually good. So apparently we do understand how this sort of stuff works. And if you, the public gets an opportunity because this injection site will be either near their home or their business. So you have a right to determine you want people doing something that's illegal just about 50 feet or 100 yards or 500 yards away from where you live and work. And they what's that, Tom?
It's just not illegal. I was just clarifying.
Oh, it is illegal. It's illegal to shoot heroin. It's illegal. Let me finish. It's illegal to have fentanyl. It's illegal to have a drug. It's illegal to carry this drug. It's a Schedule I drug. The drug is illegal. The drug is illegal. If you have the drug on you, apparently, though, we're not going to enforce this law. It's illegal to have heroin or some other type of heroin with you in possession. It's illegal to be able to inject it into your arm. That's illegal. But in these quote-unquote illegal drug injection sites, illegal drug, because we're not going to call it safe, because we could call it
safe injection.
Harm reduction.
Why don't we call it safe DUI driving? We'll do the exact same thing. Safe DUI driving.
Yeah, so, as long as you did your driving on a track inside a building that was controlled, then you're fine with DUI driving.
Right, you are, but are you not killing yourself by drinking to the excessive amount to be drunk so often that you have to do safe DUI driving every single day?
Well,
there's nothing safe about shooting a drug.
You not to drink.
There's nothing safe about shooting a drug into your arm. Do you agree with that?
No. I think it's safer I think it's safer to do it with medical personnel than if you're going to do it anyway on the street.
Uh-huh.
You're arguing, John, that the problem is you're arguing you just don't like it. And everyone on the right and the entire KTTH station is running on this platform that safe injection sites are terrible. There is a public health argument in favor of safe injection sites. And that's what we're debating on now. That's not what the legal issue is here.
I understand that. I'm broadening it out. It's done. It's fait accompli. I-27 will not be voted upon. So they're done on that. We'll let Hannah leave because she has to go talk to the guy that came up with
I-27.
Right, in 2 minutes from now. Yeah. No, I just tell them, listen, I've seen how other countries have dealt with it. Portugal with legalization of drugs, and as a libertarian, I understand that. But I also see the numbers in Vancouver where overdose has gone up 80%, and I just look at it. Human nature is this, that if you make it less illegal, you will encourage more people to come to Seattle to enjoy the ability to be able to shoot heroin into their arms. Will the city be better off for attracting more of these people, or will it be worse off? I simply say the same way, if you subsidize something, you get more of it, whether it's homeless or you subsidize in the fact that you don't enforce the law, you'll get more people shooting drugs into their arms. That's what Seattle will be, just like it is up in Vancouver. If you took the time to go up there and saw Vancouver, it's a mess. It is an absolute mess.
It's working, according to
Working how?
It's been there since 2003. It's for 15 years. Canada has not been, you know, up in arms. They're not trying to get rid of it. They've got two of them up there.
Right.
So the idea that, it's been proven to not work up there is only because you've gone up with slanted eyes to look at that approach.
Right.
Go ahead, Hannah.
You'd get different opinions of that. So both Jeannie Cole Wells and another council member, I'm tempted to say it was Kathy Lambert, I can't recall which one.
Yep.
They went together to a trip to look at the Vancouver site. They both came back with different opinions. Mm-hmm. Jeannie Cole Wells said it was working. Kathy Lambert said it was not. Uh-huh. And it was leading to drug use and various things outside.
Right.
And
I'd be okay with Insight. I think it's called Insight. Those are the people that run it. When they established it in 2003, you can leave, Hannah. When they established it, they said, the state said, or the county, whatever they are up in Vancouver, said, I'll tell you the Providence. Well, we want to be able to have assessment of how many people are coming in, how many people are getting treatment. They said, oh, we'll do that. And when the Vancouver Sun did a piece on, hey, why can't we audit your numbers? The guy that established the thing in the first place says, what, don't you trust us? And the person from the Vancouver Sun responded with, well, it would be nice to have an outside source audit your numbers and take a look at it. They've never done that. So all the numbers come out from the people that created the system and have it in place. I just say, let's put some fresh air in there. Let's have some sunshine. See the numbers. How many people do you actually have come in and then get off of drugs? Or how many people do you have come in and continue to shoot drugs? And are you attracting more people to shoot drugs into their arm because that's the place you can do it, quote unquote, safely?
Hey, you know, I think if ever we ever have to take a show off, we ought to have Jeannie and Kathy's show come on because they could argue the same things that we're arguing. They see the same information from different sides.
Ah, okay. Moving on. Let's see. In the age of Trump, is it possible to have a scandal anymore? Will it bring anybody down? This is a who was it? Joe Scarborough offered this advice to Democrats in 2020. He said,
you know, if I were actually war gaming this, I would tell everybody that was thinking about running, plan your campaign against Donald Trump, but expect to be running against Nikki Haley. You got to think that way.
Ooh, the old switcheroo. Do you the piece, I think it was in the Post or the Times, I can't remember where, that is it possible that a scandal could ever bring down someone like Donald Trump? Or will we become so scandal tired that the next politician comes in, the bar is already set so low?
Yeah. What's interesting about this is that I don't think that a scandal at this point, unless the Mueller report really comes out and buries him, we are so used to scandal with Donald Trump. I think that he probably will escape. Now, I don't know if he'll win re-election or not, but I'm not sure a scandal, if he can survive the, grabbing the women tape, Access Hollywood tape, that he probably is protected from most. But the question that this article raises is, do other people now have a kind of a strategy to respond to scandal? So there are two representatives, Duncan Hunter and Chris Collins. Yeah. They both were out on bail on felony charges, and they decided to stay in the race. Normally, that's the death knell. You drop out of the race, you just kind of disappear. They decided they were going to, challenge it. They refused to admit or they denied everything with the challenges, and they both won relatively easily. They're in a relatively red district, and so they got through it. And the question is, has Donald Trump now given us a new political strategy, which is deny, deny, deny. Do not admit to anything. Mm-hmm. Do not apologize for anything. Just go full bore. That might be the way of the future. And they cite somebody with a good sense of history. They talk about, what about Richard Nixon? Richard Nixon, his own party turned against him when they had the smoking gun, which was the tapes, basically. And when the party told him, listen, we're not going to back you, he resigned. The suggestion here by this historian was that if Richard Nixon had Fox News and Twitter at his behest, that he probably would never have resigned, that he would have enough, he'd be able to rally enough people in the country around to his cause that he would not have been literally kicked out of office and he would not have resigned. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
Well, I guess it's like, yes, he's a scoundrel, but he's our scoundrel, right? I mean, look at Keith Ellison. Yes. Keith Ellison accused by of his girlfriend and another as well of beating them up, pulling them off the bed and verbally abusing them and sexually harassing them. So he has all this stuff flying at him, and he still wins anyway. So he wins attorney general in the state of Minnesota.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Yep. But now he hasn't been charged. These people are actually facing like 11 counts of insider trading and all these kinds of things, and it still didn't matter. And that's my suspicion about Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Is that even if Mueller finds a smoking gun and he did collude with Russia, they're gonna say, I don't care, I like him anyway.
Right. Or they can say, oh, it's part of the swamp, and that's the dark side of government that didn't like Trump in the first place, and everybody hates him because he's such a guy.
Not like the good Russians.
Good Russians. Let's see. It was a. Can I say this word on the air? Why'd you write this? Is that you're trying to get me in trouble?
I think. Well, but just say dumb.
Okay. There's dumb seals. Tom are doing. are doing something that is causing there to be a problem with their nasal passages. And when people look at the story, they're like, it's not really the seal's fault and it's not the other thing's fault. This is just sometimes happens in nature.
Oh, my God. This is hilarious. We need to have a whole stupid eel section of our show. So there are pictures, and you got to see the pictures to make this really work. But the way these monk seals, they sort of excavate their food. They stick their nozzles or their whole face right into all these crevices, and they try to, like, they basically suck out anything that's kind of hiding in these crevices. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that there are a lot of eels that are stuck there, and the eels, probably in a defensive move, when they see this big mug coming at them, they zap out, and they end up going out through the nostrils, and then they're too long, so they get about halfway in, and they get stuck, and so you've got all these shots of seals with eels stuck in their nose. It's hard for eels. The eels, obviously, it's hard on the eel, and then the seals can't breathe. Oh, my God. Mother Nature, it's tough sometimes.
So what is, then does the eel die, and does the dead eel then fall out of the seal's nose?
Well, see, that they don't know, because whenever they see it, these scientists have seen it, they say, we can't tell if this is an anomaly. We've seen three or four recently, or if this is the beginning of a trend. Mm-hmm. So they go ahead and pull the eel out, and they say the eel usually dies or is already dead, and then the seal goes on as a merry way. But it's the way they forage for them, and that's the expectation. There is an alternative version of how that gets there, and that is that the seal could have swallowed the eel and regurgitated it so that the eel comes out the wrong way through his nose. So let's vote. Which one do you prefer?
I like he sticks his nose in there and the eel shoots into his nose.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Right.
Okay.
I think
you're not big on regurgitation.
This makes what dolphins do to eels seem like a holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well,
I wonder what minimum wage is for an eel.
controversy over parents who do this with their kids at lunchtime. And then also more parents are naming their... Oh, my God. Really? How many parents are doing this with their kids' names? Oh, it's terrible. Okay.
Oh, I did want to mention, I just posted the photos of the seals with the eels in their nose to the Facebook
great.
Page.
Oh, great. Got that. Okay.
In case people want to watch it.
Okay, got it. by the way, I sent you a story. You got to check it out. The Facebook story. Did Facebook really ban the picture of Santa and Jesus?
Yeah, I'm trying to get to the bottom of that.
Okay, look at the bottom of that. We'll come right back, because that's part of the war on Christmas, Tom. Right back.
Yeah, that's right. Invented as usual.
Like washing windows and doors, if you've got a door that's just not sitting right in the frame and there's some air that's seeping out, that's money that's flying out the door. And trying to heat your house, it's very, very expensive, and man, is it a waste. Why not also get the doors fixed and the windows fixed as well? The windows are broken seals. Please do what you can in order to be able to keep the money in the house as you heat the home and keep everybody safe and sound. It's the seals. The seals with either the eel up their nose or the broken seal out the window. Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Thank you. I had no idea that parents are doing this, and this is disturbing, and the parents need to get a life, and you're really doing your kid absolutely no service at all by continuing to coddle them. So the kids go off to school, they get in the school bus, and off they go, and then 2 or 3 hours later, mom, I assume it's mostly mom shows up and goes somewhere where moms are not supposed to go. Where does that mom go, Tom?
The lunchroom.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, John, but we used to have, of course, I went to parochial school, so maybe it's a little different. We used to have moms come in, you know, like once a week, and they would bring the lunch for like the whole class. So there were moms at lunch, but this is apparently a trend. And you mentioned mostly moms. The picture that in the article we're looking at from The Atlantic has a guy, you know, the dad being the one attending to his kids' lunches. And yeah, I'm crazy to think, it's crazy to think that this is actually becoming popular. They say that this is only true in elementary school. The first off, middle school kids would be mortified if their parents showed up. But elementary school kids, the claim is that they really like it. They eat better at school. They're you know, in better spirits when their parents are there. And so that's one outside reason why you should go. But the negative thing about that is that it looks like it's the worst example of helicopter, parenting. It's coddling the kid. It seems ridiculous that the kid would need it. And they say that it gets in the way of what kids really need to do in school, which is learn to socialize with other kids and learn to, you know, how to navigate not just lunch, but the interactions you have with 25 other kids that you're suddenly thrust into. So, yeah, it seems like an unbelievably negative idea or bad idea from all circles except the parents. I will say the parents, I do agree with the parent who said it's fascinating to watch your little one interact, how they interact with other kids, whether they're popular or unpopular or shy or kind of a hanger-on or others. They love to see their kid interact. And that's been valuable information to help them understand what his life is like at school. I agree with that. I think it would be fascinating to be able to see your kid, but it'd be better if you could see your kid behind like a glass
yes.
and he can't see you.
Right.
Instead of actually, you're mucking up with it's that Heisenberg uncertainty principle. If you enter into the equation, you screw up what you're observing.
Right. But some of the parents that defend themselves with this say, well, I don't get a chance to spend much time with my kids, so this gives me an opportunity to sit with them and yeah. talk with them and have something to eat with them. Yeah, well, then what? Find an adjustment somewhere else. That's your kid's
yes.
time. And that's really the greatest lessons in life are learned right there at the cafeteria table.
Yeah, I guess so. Although, you know, I realize I don't have any good grade school cafeteria stories because at least in the parochial school that I went to, Christ the King, up in North Seattle, we all just ate at our desks.
Yeah.
So we just brought our lunch, we ate at our desk, and so there was never any, oh, who's going to sit with whom kind of crises that apparently happened at the middle school level.
Mm. By the way, this is not part of the story, but I want to bring this up. I ran into this parent coming back from Puerto Vallarta and I was talking to him on the plane. And they said, oh, yeah, well, I'm heading back down there again. I said, when are you going back? Oh, I'm going to go with my daughter who's graduating from high school. And apparently this is a big high school thing now. Seniors go down to Puerto Vallarta and party. And I said, and you're going with her? And she said, yeah. How old's your daughter? Well, she's 18. So you will fly down. She has two daughters. Fly down there with both your daughters and hang out with them in Puerto Vallarta while all of this sort of mayhem is going on. And she said, yeah, you know, sort of to, you know, party with them as well, but not too much. Just kind of keep an eye on them. Doesn't that seem really odd?
Well, yeah, I'm surprised that the kids would want that to happen. Although, given what I hear tell happens at these
spring break
businesses, maybe that's actually smart parenting. Come to think of it, I'd rather come up with something, have them not go down to Puerto Vallarta for high school graduation party or whatever, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Most parents are also, more parents have decided when it comes to naming their babies. The names of babies still popular in 2018 haven't really changed much from 16 and 17. Let's see, Ian is still popular with boys. Macy is still popular with girls. Hannah's still hanging in there as well. And then, of course, if you want to make it seem like your kid is really smart and cool, you name him Henry or Jackson or Jack. But now some parents are starting to decide that their babies need to be named after healthy food.
Yeah. Well, they say it's the popularity of the whole wellness movement, first off. And so there's some, these spiritual practices like yoga or meditation, they like names like peace, harmony, and hope. But they also said, more maybe remarkably, is that healthy food trends seem to be popular. And they start out with, here's some classic girls' names that parents are literally picking by enough of them that they've created kind of a mass. Kale, because kale is so popular these days. And apparently, John, that goes back, they say since 1880, parents have been naming kids after vegetables and the like, and that they have, in 1962, they have the first recording of kale, and that was long before the kale, kale became popular. But also, kiwi, which isn't too bad, maple, hazel, which hazel's been around forever,
yeah.
Clementine, sage, saffron, and rosemary. And then names like saffron, sage, and hazel are on the rise for boys, too. Now, that's a surprise to me. I would be taken aback a bit by the first Hazel I met who was a boy, but that's the trend, I guess. It's the way of the world. How did you decide on naming your kids, by the way? Familial?
The first one was we named Kiwan because I'm a big fan of Kiwan salads.
Quinoa.
And then
you know how to pronounce it.
Then I went lentil.
Quinoa.
Well, that's what we call her.
Yeah. What was that again? Kinwan?
It's a family name. What is it? Kiwa? How do you say it?
It's Quinoa. Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Didn't I say that?
No, you said Kinwin or
something. And then before we knew it, our second one came along, and we're like, you know what, Lentil? We love you. And that's really where. No, we named Charlie because we didn't know if it was going to be a girl or a boy. Most people try to figure out the sex of the child prior to. We decided not to. We said if it's going to be a boy, it's Charlie. If it's a girl, it's Charlie. We've never met a Charlie that's a jerk other than Charlie Manson. So that was that. And then on
that constitutes a big one, though.
He's not going to wipe out all Charlies. You know, historically, certain people have ruined certain things, like the teeny tiny mustache underneath the lip destroyed by Adolf Hitler. No one can ever have that one.
But Adolf itself is a tough name.
And then with Rye, is Rye Cooter, the musician Rye Cooter. And now Rye, at the age of 16, is like, Dad, you don't even know a Rye Cooter album. You don't even know a Rye Cooter song. And I'm now stuck with this name. But he does like it. How about the story of the woman who's getting on board the Southwest Airlines, and she named her kid A, B, C, D, E. And then the person at the gate took a picture of it, put up on social media. And then she got, I don't know, reprimanded, or I don't know if she got fired or not because of that. But the mom is like, oh, you've hurt my daughter. No, mom, you hurt your daughter by trying to give your daughter a stupid first name.
By the way, she pronounced it Ab City.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
Still, A, B, C, D, yeah. No, I think, I guess I agree with the woman if they were mocking the kid. It's like a 5-year-old kid and they're laughing at her at the gate. That's rude.
Yeah.
But just, if you name a kid that, I would think you'd like somebody to remark on the name. Like, wow, that's an unusual name. So, yeah.
I got a friend of mine who's Dutch, and she's going to have a baby. And she's telling me these different names that she wants to come up with to name the kid, right? And they're all like these Dutch names. I'm like, you can't name the kid that. Like Ardenarg and Heindenbergen and Bergestarg and Eigehuga. I mean, really, Eigehuga? You can send the kid off to school with the name Eigehuga? It's such a traditional Dutch name. I said, I don't care. You don't live in Dutchland or wherever it is over there. You live here in America.
Lentil's much better.
Or kidney bean. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Lent for short.
Yes, the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. It might be too late to get in with the letters, but you can always write to us at any time. The Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Speaking of letters, here comes the mailman now. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Lady in the back. Yes. I'm sorry I missed you. I apologize. She looks angry. Question.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Golly.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Did it take you a little too long to find the answer?
Yeah.
Here comes the mailman. There we go. There's the answer. Yes, it's going to be completely covered in cocaine.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to
Yes, he does. The mailman comes right to the door. Thank you very much. Let's see where we are. Here we go. Teeny Tiny Lady. I know she rode in with George Bailey. Hey, Teeny Tiny Lady. How are you?
Hello.
She could tell us about that letter of the day, but let's get started now.
Well, our first topic of the day is Sully's $5,000 he's expecting. Larry in West Seattle wants to weigh in.
Uh-oh.
Sully's chances of collecting $5,000 from Curly are the same as Tom buying a Porsche for a commute. Andrew paying attention. Jacob shaving his mustache, Curly endorsing Shama Sawant, and Ursula never having to hire carpet cleaners again.
Mm-hmm. There, good. Mike from the band High Freak. Pay the man, Curly. It's the right thing to do. I paid Jacob's goofy yet somewhat spectacular haircut, by the way. How about the Pink Floyd's biding my time for Tom's walk-on music? Oh, and thanks for playing the song. That was awesome. There we go.
Very good. So on the smartphones issue, 206, I stopped buying iPhones as regularly as I was doing solely due to the crazy prices Apple started charging for their best phone. Yeah, that's part of the plateau on downward trend.
Mm-hmm. Semi-retired in Seattle, Tom and John. So you guys were talking about it when only rich folks had cell phones. Even better, how about when only doctors and drug dealers had pagers?
Right. On the smartphone discussion, you mentioned how great it is to have rich people because they can take an expensive phone and make it cheaper for the rest of us. Right. Eric in Bothell says, fascinating. Mm-hmm. Income inequality is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I suppose if you earn a high income, it is. For income inequality to even exist requires that a lot of low-paying workers must produce more revenue in excess of their wages so that more money is available for the higher-paid workers. What low-paid workers make in contrast to the high-paid workers can't be justified.
Oh, really?
It can only be rationalized. Uh-huh. I don't think many people living in poverty rejoice knowing that at least they have income inequality.
Mm.
Go Hawks.
Sperm Bank Kids, 425, says, Tom, your casting is all wrong. Michael, is it Sarah?
Yes.
Sarah, yeah.
Michael, Sarah would be the young version of the main character with him and also be the older version. Just use makeup. Okay.
I like the Sarah casting, but not as the older guy. Okay, 425. Stroke of genius. You guys are brilliant.
Oh, wow. It did work out. The Me Too backlash, Sean in Arlington. Oh, no. Holy drop traps, Batman. There is now audio from the show. Tom says...
Yeah, I'm fine having sex with Larry.
Okay. Sound drops. Equal opportunity. Holy moly, Z. What? Just said what?
Is it here one more time?
Here we go. This is you talking.
Yeah, I'm fine having sex with Larry. That was my imitation of a hostage video.
I see. Next one.
206. Tom's logic on the hiring in the Me Too times is spot on. I think he should run for president of the United States with Dave Ross as his vice president.
Let's see. Me Too
now
continues. 253. Hey. This is Larry, you know, from accounting. Yeah, that Larry. And I am pissed. You, John, you. I expected from you, but now Tom, sure. I might have spent my fair share of time with Sally in HR. And I mean, I may or may not have been sending secret sessions or two with sensitivity training. Thank God it was graded pass or fail. But I have never been accused, well, convicted of anything of a criminal nature. So I say good day to you both. Larry in accounting.
I thought we'd hear from Larry. And another letter about the ratings in Nigeria. John, go figure. 253. Number 72 in Nigeria? Well, well, well. Ain't we fancy? But I do got to hand it to you, boys. After stories such as Dutch Oven Lobster and now Stroke of Genius, how could you not shoot up the charts? 72 with a bullet. Okay. Letter of the day.
Hold on. Wait.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Comes from David in Lake Stevens, a regular. I got my hands on Tom's movie review already. There is something elemental, archetypal, mythic even, about the story arc of Strokes of Genius. That's why Hollywood keeps coming back to it, time and time again. A 30-something bank clerk living alone, with no friends, seeking to make a name for himself by donating his sperm. Admittedly, I wasn't terribly excited to see the movie that inspired Canadian singer and songwriter Sarah McLachlan to pen the lyrics to her hit, I Will Remember You. I mean, she's not even French-Canadian. But I have a job to do. So, after polishing off my one-cent Whopper and having the Metro bus driver attach my couch to the bike rack in front of the bus, I was off to the theater to do my deed. Many of my concerns about the film were realized after an awkward start. I found the rhythm discomforting, and it was long and hard to follow. The acting was average, but failed to erect any emotional connections with the characters involved in this sticky situation of a story. On a side note, for those leery of Richard Gere movies, rest assured, there are no gerbils in this film. Overall, the movie wasn't horrible, and the happy ending left me smiling and satisfied. Two tangs for Strokes of Genius. Yowza.
Out of time. Bye-bye.